Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
I felt like yesterday this kind of flew under the radar a little bit. And then now today it's starting to pick up momentum because people realize that if the Lakers are having a coaching search and LeBron is not invited in, forget about whether or not he eventually gets a seat at the table, whatever, but he's not invited in, that at first – and it imperils their relationship. Like, there's a non-negligible chance that he might not be a Laker to start next season. Like, that's a huge story. Anyway, we started getting into that yesterday. And then Stephen A. said this on First Take.
I want to announce to the American public that I think the Los Angeles Lakers should strongly consider trading LeBron James. The Los Angeles Lakers, as presently constructed, are going nowhere. He's the only person that has extreme value. You the Lakers, where you going? You got nothing.
You know, I understand what Stephen A. is saying, but there, you know, whether or not the Lakers are considering it, or strongly considering it, or thinking about it, or whether LeBron James is thinking about it based on the way that the front office is constructed, because it seems like to me, from an outsider looking in, is that LeBron James, clutch management, Rich Paul, Anthony Davis have been stripped of their power to influence the Lakers brass. Seems like that to me. Based on the John Wall for Westbrook first round pick trade didn't go through, the things that you're hearing on who is to blame, who's pointing the finger at who based on the outcome of this season, the fact that now Phil Jackson's name has emerged as a person who is hovering around crypto arena, El Segundo, with his influence, that they've now been stripped of that. And I think LeBron James would not want that. So maybe he's looking somewhere else. He's not involved in what's going on. And if the Lakers decided to move on from one of the greatest players in NBA history, I wouldn't be shocked or surprised, because if you take a look around the NBA, Jay, and you know this because you cover it. You played in it. You cover it. You're down in Memphis. You got a chance to see them young guns go at it with Golden State the other night. That's what it is. It's Boston. It's Memphis. It's Minnesota. You know, yeah, you got a core group together at Golden State, but they still got some young guns that can still go. That's the way the Lakers should look at it. And if they decide to keep Anthony Davis and LeBron James, get rid of everybody else, you need to get some young horses, some starving young horses to build that team.
Max, you ready for this?
Ready.
This is right down your alley. Key, and this is going to – this is interesting your side too. We talk a lot about legacy. You know, when we talk about Stephen Curry, Max will talk about, well, if he wins one, you know, getting another one in the finals MVP, what that will do. Now, LeBron has won multiple finals MVPs. He's gotten to multiple world championships. He's lost a lot, but he's gotten there a ton, already has four. What happens to the legacy of LeBron James at this stage of his career if he's wanted to be in L.A. and the Lakers trade him? How do you guys think about LeBron James if that trade actually went down, Max?
Does he win another championship?
I don't know. Say he doesn't win another. Say he doesn't win another championship.
It frames the end of his career as a declining player. When to me, it's unclear whether or not he's still the best player in the league. But I think it's.
Ooh, you know what, man?
That's what I'm saying. It changed. See, Max.
You know,
he's playing at an MVP level, but then it turns into that. Max just said. Yeah. That's crazy to me.
It may even turn into a little. It may turn into something worse, depending on how the exit is. Right? If the exit is LeBron's leaving because he doesn't want to deal with it, now he's getting ready to turn his back on all the L.A. fan base. That's the way they're going to perceive it. I'm just telling you, Jay, as somebody who was born and raised in this city, who lived on in this city for 50 years and watched everybody all the way from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to where we are now. I watched Norm Nixon go to the Clippers and Byron Scott come in from Arizona State as a kid. I've watched it all. They will turn on LeBron James if he decided to leave on his own. If the Lakers decided to trade LeBron James, then people will say they traded LeBron James because they needed to get better and get rid of the controlling nature of LeBron and clutch and all of that. Therefore, he still would have a place to a degree in the hearts of LA fans. If he leaves, though, on his own, oh, no. Meaning, like, yeah. If he was to ask for a trade or leave after this season and go somewhere else, oh, man, it would
be
great.
But, to build on your point about him getting traded, there also is a narrative, and I've heard Brian Windhorst say this on our show multiple times, that LeBron comes in, wins you a championship, but then burns your organization down.
You ain't the only person.
That's what I'm saying. So then that narrative becomes perpetuated even more so because it fits into the same timeline of what happened in Miami, what happened in Cleveland. It fits into all that.
Although, look at Miami and Cleveland now. Like, Cleveland's young up and coming.
Yeah, but it's taken Cleveland a long time. First time Cleveland's gone back to the playoffs since LeBron.
That's true, but that's Cleveland's fault, right? Like, Cleveland was drafting first overall for a million years before LeBron got back, couldn't buy a win. And since
but it's not all Cleveland's fault, man, because they got the house for LeBron. They also traded for some other assets to get one with him. Like they,
No. What I'm saying is when LeBron left Cleveland the first time, they wouldn't put a team around him. That's why he left. Went in his absence, right, when Dan Gilbert thought he was doing LeBron such a favor by, you know, in his absence, they drafted first basically every year because they were the worst team in basketball, basically, right? Then he comes back, they're great again. Then he leaves, and now they're good again, right? They're ascending. Miami, because it's a Pat Riley organization, has a few down years here and there, of course, but are basically competitive every year, right? They're just a competitive franchise. So I don't know if the facts fit the he leaves your franchise in shambles story, but I'll say this.
But, Max, it's taken both those teams multiple years to recover.
Well, okay, but what's the trade-off? Like, here, tell a Knicks fan, hey, Knicks fan, you can win a championship, be in the finals every year, win a championship, and then he's going to leave, and you're going to be in shambles for, like, the next 3 years. Knicks fan will sit there going, we've been in shambles for 50. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah, I'll take a championship.
But that's the Knicks, though, Max.
Most teams would take a championship to stink for 3 years.
It's not Miami. It's not the Lakers. And I understand exactly what you're saying, Jay. He does leave the organization in shambles. Somebody else that deals with the NBA on a daily basis, that deals with these executives on a daily basis, said the same thing to me.
Well, flip it around.
They've said it multiple times about what happens when he leaves an organization, he leaves them in shambles.
Flip it around, Key.
That's what it is.
Think about the Sixers. They tanked for years. That was called the process. So who cares if you stink before or after the championship? You want a chip or not, because the Sixers process hasn't resulted in a chip yet, but they did stink for years. If LeBron shows up and you win a chip, even one, and then you have to stink for a little while after, almost every fan base would make that deal, right? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you make that deal?
You make the deal. But you also know what's coming after you make that deal. Do you want to live like that? Do the Lakers want to, for the next 5 years, try to rebuild to get back to a championship?
Do you think he's out of there or he's staying put?
Man, I don't know, man. I really honestly don't know.
Because if I'm the Lakers, I don't want him to go anywhere. I got the Lakers formula has always been, let's get the biggest or two of the three biggest stars in the sport and crush everybody, right? Win chips. Let everyone else slowly develop young talent to maybe one day get
you
to
know
a
how
conference
people,
finals. That's not the Lakers.
Jay, you know how people's feelings are, man. When people's feelings get involved, he had a nasty, well-documented exchange, and his camp had a well-documented exchange with Phil Jackson.
Yeah, that's
if Phil Jackson is in the mix, controlling or being a part of it, whether he's controlling or just a part of it publicly, how does that sit with LeBron and Rich Paul and Clutch? How does that sit with them, Jay? I would think it's not sitting well.
Well, and the thing is, too, like, Phil Jackson came in on the back end with Frank Vogel. Like, I don't know how that sat with their team, too, but they won a championship. So at this time, if his camp is not hearing any word about the moves that they're making and not having a seat at the table, it's a pretty big thing, man, for a player that's still in the MVP conversation.
Let's get Jeff Van Gundy, ESPN NBA analyst and excellent Knicks coach of the past, back when I used to root for the Knicks. Coach, you've said all year on this show that the Lakers were a bad basketball team. Should they move on from LeBron, if it's their choice, or try to rebuild around him?
Well, I think when you get rid of great players, you have to be very careful when you get rid of great players. So, you know, I think that should be a last-ditch sort of thing. But it's going to be hard for them to rebuild. And Davis and James are often injured now. They traded away their depth last year. I don't know how they replenished their depth. They're in a struggle right now, and it's going to be hard to get out of.
Yeah,
Coach, is this a bad job? Is this job a bad job as it's constructed today?
Well, I think it all depends on what you're comparing it to. If you're comparing it to, like, working outside on a roof in 100-degree weather, it's the best job you could ever possibly have, which is coaching NBA basketball. But within the NBA right now, I think it is a challenging one in that there's no great path to sustained, good play because of those roster issues I was just addressing. But it's the Lakers. And the Lakers have historically found their way back to success. And so I think it's still a good job. It could be a really good job if they can figure out some of these roster things and if James and Davis are still bought in and healthy. I mean, that's a lot to go right, but the Lakers historically have gotten it right.
Coach, I heard Jason Kidd last night say that the Mavericks can't win with just Luka alone. Now, obviously, they need Jalen Brunson, they need Spencer Dinwiddie to get better. But in order for the Mavericks to take the next step, I'm curious, what player do you think is out there that could fit next to Luka that can – obviously, they need to change a little bit of their system to a degree because Luka just dominates the ball. Maybe you feel differently about that. But is there a player out there that you think would be the right pairing with Luka to help this team go next level about winning a championship?
Well, the first two games of this series have been about their inability to get stops. So, like, last night I think Phoenix shot 64% and just carved up a really good Dallas defense. And frankly, Luka, he's got to play better at that end of the floor. Like, he's got to be able to guard the ball better. And I think any player letting themselves off the hook for last night's defense, particularly Doncic, if you're going to get better at that end of the floor, it starts with your best player accepting responsibility for his play at that end. But I think the heavy ball dominant guard, I mean, he's gone one step above James Harden for ball dominance, even back when James Harden was with Houston. And I think Doncic is the hardest guy to guard in the league now. Like, I think he's that good. I'm mesmerized by the talent. And yet, I ask myself, like, when I watch, just how difficult it must be to play on that team because you get the ball so infrequently and you know it's going to be a high pick and roll with Doncic. If it's a switch, it's going to be an ISO. It's not that he doesn't pass the ball. He does pass the ball. But that dominance of the ball in one person's hands, I'm not sure exactly how you surround that player the very best, other than to have shooting and, you know, as many defensive-minded players as you can. But I don't have a perfect guy because how would you fit in offensively with Doncic? I think it's difficult.
Hey, Coach, so what do you do with Doncic then? Because as you say, it's so effective what he does, but it's like the short-term gains, maybe
blind you to the long-term goal, right? How do you coach Doncic in that case? How do you best use him?
Well, I think they've used him great. I mean, again, he is so darn good. And it's not like they have a lot of – I mean, they traded for Dinwiddie. I thought – at first, I didn't think that was a good trade. Now it's turned out to be, I think, good for both teams, for Washington and for Dallas. You know, the Brunson thing, I think Brunson has shown how good he is when Doncic, you know, didn't play in the first three games of the Utah series. Melding it all together, though, is really hard. Taking advantage of Doncic's incredible gifts and skills and size, and I think we overlook the size. You know, he looks like LeBron James out there to me. He's that big with that vision. But how you meld that all together so that other guys can reach their highest potential too and combine it all together, man, that's a challenge. Because Doncic has had the ball in his hands ever since he was, you know, in Dallas. I mean, where he has been the dominant guy. And to change that even a little bit is going to be challenging.
Mm. The coach, Jeff Van Gundy, ESPN NBA analyst, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Coach, how much better, if at all, the Suns are over the Golden State Warriors?
Well, I think that would be a heck of a series. I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure they are necessarily better. I think, you know, they would obviously have the advantage of the home court. I think Chris Paul would be challenged defensively in that series. You know, who would he guard if they play in Poole, Curry, and Thompson together? I think that would be interesting. I like what Phoenix did in the offseason with McGee, more size at the basket in the backup center spot, and Biombo. So they're well protected there. And so I think obviously Phoenix has had the better year, but, and I think this is a big caveat, but that's with major injuries to the Warriors. Come, if they meet in the Western Conference Finals, I think it could be an epic series. And I think Phoenix would be favored, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if Golden State won that series.
Jeff Van Gundy, ESPN NBA analyst, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. An operative word in that statement that you just said, Jeff, was if they get there. I know they are the favorite to get there over Memphis. But I'm curious, with everything happening in Memphis, do you believe that Dillon Brooks should be suspended for Game 3?
I'm going to take a step back. I think the play that Dillon Brooks committed was reckless. But I have been remiss, as has a lot of media members, I think, been remiss in addressing this throughout the year. This horizontal club swing to try to block shots has been around for a while now. And when it misses the head and gets the ball for a block shot, we talk about, you know, what a great play it is. But when a guy swings the same way and it's an inch off and it clips someone like Gary Payton in the head, we call it reckless. What we need to do is outlaw the play in its entirety. Just like a guy who throws an elbow that does not connect is hit with a technical foul, we need to legislate that that reckless club horizontal swing that misses is a technical foul. And if it hits, it's an automatic flagrant two, and you're ejected. Because this goes right to player safety. It needs to be eliminated. Dillon Brooks is not the first nor the last to do this. The only difference is, from what we say is a good play versus a reckless play, is whether he misses the block and hits him in the head. And I think, like I said, myself, when I've seen it in the game, I haven't called it out when it's missed, but it's too dangerous to allow in any form.
Thus, I would not suspend him. I would not suspend him because, as a league, we haven't taken care of it.
Mm. Jeff, I know you're calling the game 3 of Warriors-Grizzlies on Saturday, 8:30 on ABC. And when I think of the word physical, I go to the Bucks-Celtics series because I see that I'm like, okay, that reminds me of 90s basketball to a degree, the physicality of that game. But you use the word reckless when you talk about Grizzlies and Warriors. Do you think the NBA and the referees will stop that from occurring? Because we've had 2 games in a row now. That's Draymond pulling a jersey and then Dylan Brooks as well.
Well, I don't really look at it as an official's thing to correct. I mean, I didn't agree with the Draymond Green ejection. You know, people said, is it a 1 or a 2 flagrant foul? I thought it was a 1.74. And so I wouldn't have, you know, thrown him out. But I understand why they did. The Dylan Brooks one, to me, was an easy one to get right, and they got it right. The referees, to me, on those type of plays, can only go by what they see and what the precedent is in the league. I like you, Jay. I don't think it's physical. I don't think that series – I think that series is very – you have finesse. It's a finesse series with a couple of questionable plays. And whereas the physicality, like you mentioned, of Boston and Milwaukee, Boston, to me, is so equipped defensively with their size and strength that they're just naturally strong and tough and physical, as is Milwaukee. And, you know, that's totally different than a couple of, you know, reckless plays.
Yeah, and when I was a kid watching basketball, the head coach of the Knicks would talk about physical, would hold on to the opposing center's leg like a pit bull when teams got into it. This is nothing compared to back then. The great Jeff Van Gundy, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Coach, as always.
All right, Jeff.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, which quarterbacks will bounce back in 2002? Key tells you next on
2002?
ESPN Radio. 22.
Oh.
What?
2002. I was in college.
What did I say? What did I call Monica McNutt? Where's that
Narnia drop? McNutt.
Narnia in 2002. That's only, I'm only off by, come on. What are you nitpicking? It's 20 years, Jay. Big deal. Key tells you next on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Keyshawn. Max, we having fun.
Jay Will.
Yeah, Max.
And Max.
We had 2 minutes of fun.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Believe it or not.
Evan, you want to do the honors here?
Let's do it.
Let's go, Elvon.
Thank you, Jordan.
All right, believe it or not time. What do you got, Evan?
Nash, we're having fun.
don't know. I saw it.
Come on.
Before we actually have fun,
Evan, I just want to say one thing to you.
Yes.
You remind me of an old head coach I used to have, but I'm not going to mention his name.
Sean McVay.
You look at somebody, and the first thing you think is something different than what it really is. I just want to say that. Let's go. Moving along.
How you like your fun now, Evan? Evan, are you having fun yet?
Fun now, Evan.
You having fun yet?
Believe it or not, I'm walking on it.
Let's have some more fun.
Yes. Shave your mustache, Evan. Let's go.
Somebody's going to be looking through my emails later.
Billy, you're so stupid.
Somebody's going to be looking through my... Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh. I hope not. Let's go. Move along.
All right, here we go.
Hey, yo!
What are we doing? QBs who can bounce back in 2022. Here we go. Key, believe it or not, Daniel Jones bounces back in 2022.
Not. I don't even think he gets through the full year of 2022 football season. Six games in, Tyrod Taylor will be the starter. Daniel Jones will be holding the clipboard, pouting. New York Post will be all over it. New York Daily News, New Jersey Times. Everything you can think of, Daniel Jones will not bounce back.
Max, watch this. We're going to shift that energy because we're going to be positive about my damn Giants. Daniel Jones will bounce back. He is the guy. He will continue to be guy the whole year. I don't believe it.
Bounce back? Back to what? What do you mean bounce back? Like, oh, he just had an off year. He's getting bounced. That's the only thing I believe.
Bounce back to not tripping.
Russell Wilson, the great Russell Wilson, bounces back in 2022, believe it or not, Keith.
So much hate in that voice, Evan.
I think he will bounce back in terms of having a better season that he had in Seattle derailed because of an injury, but I don't think that the Denver Broncos will go anywhere with that bounce back.
It's not about the Denver Broncos. It's about his individual play bouncing back. And, yes, Russell Wilson was injured last year. Give this man the credit that he deserves. He's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, he'll bounce back. Russell Wilson he's a huge winner every year. Well, it's a system. I don't care. Bad quarterback ain't going to win 10 games plus every year except for the one year he wins 9, right? His entire career, they had a bad year. He'll be back, especially on a better team.
Yeah, I thought Matt Ryan had a good year last year, so I'm actually going to skip Matt Ryan because I'm not sure what he's bouncing back from. Whoever put this list together, oh, me. Sam Darnold bounces back 2022, Key, believe it or not.
Not. I think Sam Darnold is a good quarterback. I had a lot of belief in him, and I still believe in him. But I think because of the situation in Carolina, they drafted a quarterback. They're looking to do something else at another position. Maybe they bring in another guy in free agency. Who knows what's going to go on? But the coach in Matt Rhule is under so much pressure to get it done. He's going to be moving guys in and out of the lineup, screwing things up. He will not bounce back because of that.
Yeah, I'll say he'll bounce back. You know why? Because he'll have CMT, he'll have Christian McCaffrey. And that's what helps. When you have a running back like that gives you the optionality, let's not act like before Christian McCaffrey got hurt, Sam Darnold was looking pretty good. We were raving about him. Then when you lose one of your top running backs, they'll say, oh, he's horrible. He'll be just fine.
That is correct.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Ryan Tannehill doesn't want to mentor Malik Willis, but will he bounce back from what he was in the playoffs? Will we see him be the regular season Ryan Tannehill or the postseason Ryan Tannehill? Can you believe it or not, Ryan Tannehill bounces back from his postseason interceptions?
Not. I don't believe he will bounce back. I think what you will see is a guy sputtering along. This offense is going to be predicated on Derrick Henry running the football just like it's always been. And the only difference is they will not ask Matt Ryan to do some of the things they asked him to do in the playoffs in the regular season, which is give the football to the other team.
Yeah, I don't know, bounce back. I feel like whenever I hear Ryan Tannehill's name, I expect average. Is that bad, Max?
Yeah, I think
it's average.
He looked above average for a while, but I agree with Key here. I think that was the beginning of the end for him based on the way he's handled things since then. So it's not that he'll be a terrible quarterback, but I saw him as ascending before, and I see him descending now.
Baker Mayfield. Max loves when we make, like, Baker Mayfield Baker jokes. So will Baker Mayfield
cook it up,
roll back? Will he cook it up in 2022? What do we expect from Baker? Or will it be burnt? What do we expect from Baker
rise?
Mayfield?
Will it be leavened bread?
I have to take 2 seconds to think about this one because I believe he will bounce back, only if he goes to Seattle. If he goes to Seattle, he bounces back because he beats out Drew Lock, and he'll stay healthy and have a good season. But if he doesn't go anywhere, then he won't be bouncing back. He'll just be sitting on the couch.
So I just want to make it clear, bouncing back for Baker Mayfield is just him getting a starting position in the NFL, correct?
Well,
that's what we're saying, yes.
Starting
position. That's bouncing back.
And doing, essentially,
like,
yes.
I'm not even worried about what you're playing, how you're playing. I'm worried about you just getting a starting spot that is bouncing back. So, yes, I hope he does bounce back.
I would say, Evan, that this year, maybe in the future, he'll bounce back. Don't forget, he was a playoff quarterback not long ago. But for this year, he is baking matzah, Evan, unleavened. No yeast, as Key would say. He's not going to rise.
I have nothing else. Drew Lock. He's in Seattle now. He might be the starter if it's not Baker Mayfield. Believe it or not, Drew Lock bounces back in 2022 with Seattle. Key?
Not. I don't believe in Drew Lock. I don't think he's the answer for Seattle. They had to take something back in the Russell Wilson trade. He was the guy that they took back. I still think that they're waiting to figure out how they could get Baker Mayfield in the fold without paying a portion of the $18.9 million due to him on his salary this year.
I actually believe he might bounce back if they're able to retain DK Metcalf and Lockett. I mean, he'll have some options to work with.
Again, bounce back. If you have a basketball and it doesn't have any air in it and you try to dribble it, it doesn't bounce back, right? Like, it hits the ground and kind of comes up a very little bit. Drew Lock was never all the way up to begin with, so I don't know what he's bouncing back to. I got to say, no, I don't believe it.
Mitch Trubisky, Key's guy. He's in Pittsburgh now with the Steelers. Does he bounce back, Key, believe it or not?
I believe. I absolutely believe. I'll go down in flames believing this. I'm taking a Dan Orlovsky approach. I am holding on for dear life that Mitch Trubisky bounces back. Yes, he was there with Brian Daboll. Yes, he played in the preseason. Yes, they saw good things out of him in training camp and in practice. Different in games. But I also believe if you really break down his film and you look at him in Chicago under Matt Nagy, very difficult situation, led a team to the playoffs twice. Not only that, I think Mike Tomlin and that offense is built for a guy like this, has the mobility, can dink and dunk, put the ball in Najee Harris's hands, and the Pittsburgh Steelers are rolling. Although these guys with me on this show, Heckle and Jekyll, don't feel like he can line up with the other three quarterbacks within the division.
All right, bounce back. I'm not sure. Let's see how he does if Kenny Pickett ends up starting.
Yeah. I mean,
let's see how that plays out, Keith.
Let's see how he does if Kenny Pickett winds up starting. Well, I don't think he'll be doing anything but holding a clipboard.
Right, he'll be bouncing back to 2021 levels on the bench. But if he does, but I think he will bounce back either to that backup role or if he gets the chance to start, if he wins this job, I think he will be pretty good. I look back at those Bears years now and think, oh, look at that. Behind that O-line, he got him to the playoffs. Pretty good.
All right, last one. Another new team, Marcus Mariota in Atlanta replacing Matt Ryan. Believe it or not, Marcus Mariota bounces back with the Falcons, Key.
I think he bounces back from where he was as a backup in Las Vegas behind Derek Carr, but I don't know that he bounces back, so I would say not where he was when he lost his job to Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee. Now, remember, if my mind serves me correctly, Arthur Smith was on that staff when he was benched for Ryan Tannehill.
Correct.
So it'll be interesting to see how much leeway Arthur Smith gives him in that situation. He wasn't the play caller. He was on the staff. So it'll be interesting to see. So not as of now.
I'll roll with you on that one, Key.
I think he'll bounce back. I think Mariota a little better than we think of him. So I think if he gets a chance to start, he'll surpass expectations.
I don't hear it in your voice, Max. Don't hear it in your voice.
Well, I'm not excited about him, but I think he's slightly underrated.
Get a little more excited.
I think he's slightly underrated.
Marcus Mariota makes you excited, Max?
No, but he asked for a performance, so, you know.
Hey, phrasing!
Well, I mean, you know, you could always be, you know, bland in the situation. But give me some excitement, Max Kellerman.
Are you not entertained?
You can always be Marcus Mariota in a situation. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. That's called being set up. A year later, Trevor Lawrence is still number one in Key's mind.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max.
Two-time Super Bowl champion, Key. His opinion is twice as important as yours. Infinitely more important than mine and Jay's.
Hey, I'm a champion, Max. Speak for yourself.
All right. Well, then just me.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So interesting thing happened today. I'm here in Memphis, and we ordered breakfast from a deli, simple deli, called Bogey's Deli. And, you know, bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich, something like that. Okay, and I end up getting, what are these things called, Justin? Yeah, a fortune cookie for breakfast. And I didn't really know about it. I was kind of like, all right, this is – it's not a Chinese spot, like, but it's a deli. I got a fortune cookie. Maybe I'll get lucky. And I opened it, and it said, in great attempts, it is glorious to even fail. What the hell does that mean? And why am I starting my morning off reading a bad fortune cookie? Why is there a fortune cookie in my breakfast to begin with?
How is that a bad fortune?
Yeah.
In great attempts, it is glorious even to fail. I don't want to fail.
Well, but as opposed to never attempting at all.
Yeah, you attempted something and you fail, but some people won't even attempt to, like me. I don't even attempt to get in the ocean. I don't even attempt it.
Why would I attempt if I know I have a chance to fail?
What? Jay, I'm shocked at you.
A superstar athlete like you, two-time NCAA player of the year like you? I dare you, Jay.
But Max, this is the problem. Now I'm in my own head about everything I do about, am I going to fail? Because I got a damn fortune cookie that already pre-described what my destination is.
All the athletes love the man in the arena nowadays, right? It is not the critic who counts. This is Teddy Roosevelt giving a speech. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit, Jay and Key, belong to the man, not to me, but to you. The man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly,
who
errs,
whole thing?
Who comes short again and again.
Do you know this by heart, or are you reading this off your
laptop? You're not at the inauguration or anything. But look, check this out, though. Jay, the most important thing of all this, did you eat the damn fortune cookie?
You know I did.
Yeah, okay.
When I see a fortune cookie, I have to eat it.
Yeah, I don't eat fortune cookies anymore.
You don't?
Not anymore. I used to eat it with the dollar Chinese food, but that was it.
Yeah.
I'm past that now.
So you don't order. But why is there a fortune cookie in my breakfast? It's not a Chinese spot. I don't understand. I'm so confused.
You sure it's not some sort of Asian deli?
Yeah, it's a regular deli. It's Bogey's
Deli. What was
deli.
The name of it again?
Bogey's Deli.
Bogey's Deli. Bogey's Deli in Memphis.
Call it 901-761-5846.
Does it seem regionally? Does it really seem regionally?
Doesn't seem like Chinese to me.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it, but hey, who knows? It's a special. But what if they dropped it? What if they dropped it in there by mistake?
But who does actually strive to do the deeds?
You keep reading it.
I'm killing 5 seconds.
Keep reading it to break, Max.
We're back in 10 seconds.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Nice try, Max Kellerman. Didn't work.
I don't know, Key. Like, if you have bread and butter, are you having bread? Like, you know, it seems to me you are.
You are.
Chicken and rice, you're still having rice.
This guy's having espresso and tequila. Tell me why he's not bouncing off the wall. That is coffee.
Key, you have any peanut butter? No, man, I just had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. There's no peanut butter in there.
Oh, you know what's so crazy? You brought that up. I was dreaming of peanut butter and jelly last night.
Oh, what's funny? Peanut butter and jelly is good to this day.
Yes. I was just thinking about I needed to get some bread and some peanut butter in the crib.
Yeah, man.
What?
Toast up the bread and I put it on some
toast.
Man,
I don't need the toast.
Oh, yeah. Nowadays, yeah,
no, I like Peter, it soft. I like
put
it soft with
butter on it, and Keith starts dreaming about it.
No. I started thinking about it while I was watching the game, and I wanted a snack. So I do it for a snack. I don't really eat sweets like that. So peanut butter and jelly is my.
See, I got to do it on the healthy non-bread bread, right? You know, like Ezekiel
What's
bread
the
or whatever.
Non-bread bread.
You what know, like that? They have these different brands of bread. There's no flour in it and stuff. And
nah.
Yeah, that's what I do because I don't.
Give
want
me Wonders, man. Let's keep it moving.
422
yeah,
bread.
You haven't had Wonders since the early
420. What's
no, that's
up?
A lie.
It's like 422 bread. It's healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, healthy.
It's
healthy,
good
healthy
not a lie. In the world. So,
time know. Out, Keith. When's the last time you had Wonder Bread?
About a month ago when I had Phillips Barbecue on the so corner good. Of Crenshaw and Adams.
Okay.
Right. It's
it, they give it to you, know, two white
mouth.
Slices.
Yeah,
very specific.
Well, you said, you hey, you asked a question, I get your answer.
Then you get older, people try to tell you, no, the what wheat bread actually
that,
tastes Keith? Better than the Wonder Bread. You're like, oh, shut up, stop it.
Keith,
no, you can
get
wheat, you can
get
wheat Wonder
gone.
Bread.
Yeah, but calm down with that.
Is it 12:22 p.m. Pacific time? Is that what time you ate it also?
What was the weather like? Degrees?
So
we're up 75 Fahrenheit.
No. We could talk about the weather or 0% of the respondents said we should talk about the weather in this segment, guys. 0%. But 15% plus said Brady's 8th Super Bowl. 24.8% said Luka's Robin to his Batman. Who should it be? Exactly 24.8% also said Butler versus Harden. Who would you take? 34.9%. It's a landslide. Second-year quarterbacks.
Yeah, it sounds like the NFL to me.
Sounds Quite like the NFL. Key, you had Trevor Lawrence, 1, Justin Fields, 2, Mac. I'm doing this from memory. Correct me if I'm wrong. Mac Jones, 3, Zach Wilson, 4, Trey Lance, 5, and Davis. Who am I thinking of?
Davis Mills.
Davis Mills, 6.
His parents should have just called him David, man. Just, you got to call it David.
Davis, it throws me for a loop every time.
Yeah, I know, right?
Plural.
Yeah.
It's
plural. And then as soon as you, as soon as you say David, you know who's going to be in your ear.
His name is Davis. We have to don't affect the credibility of the show.
Is that what I sound like?
Yes.
You're Sean McVay. You're
there
our
was
Sean
two
McVay.
Of you for a second.
This is no,
a
very good somebody else, but we'll tell you when we're off the show.
So, Key, you think it's – look, I think a lot of people would say – Trevor Lawrence, 1. But you got Justin Fields, 2, just because you believe in the talent, huh?
Yeah, I think the talent is going to outweigh the scheme in what they put in which they put in for him this year. I think his ability to be able to use his legs and move around, they're going to get a lot out of him. Because I think coming in as a head coach, you see what they did to screw him up last year. So you're coming in as a head coach now, and you're offensive coordinator, and you're sitting there saying, we're not going – to do that. We're going to let him be what he was, why they drafted him and moved up to get him, and what he was at Ohio State. Coaches that are new head coaches, you know, the first thing they do, they go back and they look at the success that he had in the system at Ohio State, and they try to implement that into their overall game plan and scheme so that you can maximize that talent.
I feel like when we talk about Justin Fields, there's a little bias on this show. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm all for it. I'm with you having him ranked number 2. Even though I don't really truly believe it, I think I will put Mac Jones ahead of him there. Like,
well,
I like
bias in what bias in what sense? I'm not a Chicago Bear fan.
No, but bias.
Or I'm not an Ohio State fan.
Him for who he is as a player and what we see the potential for him to be. I think that's not exactly what it is right now, considering the cover looks empty.
But how's that bias?
Well, what about Key wanting
because
to correct?
You like him.
I think there's a natural
tendency
to want to correct.
But I like
correct.
Mac Jones too, and I like
yeah, you like Justin Fields more than Mac Jones. Get out of here.
There's a natural tendency.
No, that's not true.
There's a natural tendency to want to correct for what you may feel are other people's biases. For example, we discussed it earlier in the show. When we see black quarterbacks slide in the draft, a lot of times you hear buzzwords like don't process it quickly enough. And even though he wasn't the only black quarterback in that draft, right? And he was the one who slid, still it was applied to him. And so
no.
I think there's a natural tendency to say, wait a minute, I'm calling BS.
No, you know why? Because Malik Willis wasn't good to me to be going in the first round.
Yeah, I get
so,
that.
I mean,
get that too.
And Trevor and Trey Lance is on my list, and he's 5.
Right.
And so there's no bias
somehow it applied
about
to,
that.
It still, I know what you mean, right? You can say, well, it's not, the examples don't back that up.
Well, maybe Max, I'm balancing it by dropping them down, huh? that'll be the, look that'll be the next thing with him saying. Ah, he's just trying to
balance
it.
You can't just be evaluating, guys. You know, by the way, it is hard to make perfectly objective evaluations because we all bring our own perspectives to it. You know,
hey, I mean, guys, like, Max, on a random note before we go, because we're coming back tomorrow. Can you guys please get updated on what's happening with this Amber Heard, Johnny Depp case?
No, I refuse.
I refuse to get updated on it. I need it.
Can't do it. I see it everywhere. It's not news. There are important things going on in the world. I cannot believe it's being covered like news. It's ridiculous.
Anyway.
I still couldn't tell you what the hell is going on. I don't
care. That's my point.
It's everywhere.
That's my point.
This is the problem with the world right now, is that is covered as news. That's the
anyway,
very problem.
Like,
and
I
you're
was
trying
saying,
to contribute to that,
Justin Fields is going to be great in Chicago.
I don't know all about it by
Davis
tomorrow.
Mills' and parents should have named him David to make our job a lot easier.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.